Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's pray together while we're standing. Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be again in the house of the Lord. And Father, again, we thank you for these youth, these young people, Lord God, that we can see your handiwork in them, through them, Lord God, and see them starting at a young age. Father, anoint these children, Lord God, and let them be an example to the youth that have seemed to drift so far away from you in this day and hour. Father, we ask you to keep your hand upon them, Lord, that they could stand strong, Lord, on this day of deception and a day and hour, Lord God, that it appears that so many walking in the lasciviousness and the lukewarmness and the lightheartedness that this world's got to offer, Lord. Father, it's hard to find examples in this day and hour of Christianity in Christ, Lord God. And Father, I would not speak disrespectful of your people and your anointed, Lord God, but it is getting distant and far and few between, Father, and there's such an uncertain sound going forth. We ask for a special hedge of protection around these youth, a special protection upon them, Lord God, to keep them set apart, Father, and walking in holiness, Lord. Father, we know that without holiness, we will not know you nor see you, Lord God. And let there be a spirit of holiness amongst us and amongst these children, Father. Protect them. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can all be seated. Appreciate you coming out this evening. I want you to open your Bibles over to Ephesians, please. And we'll go over to right about the fourth chapter. I find things on my heart sometimes, and you know, sometimes you might think, well, we'd like some new revelation, Brother Rob. I'd like to hear something new. Well, you know, brothers and sisters, the same thing that you can be hearing and listening to could become new to you when you see it in the dimension that it's spoken in. And it seems like the farther I go along, the more I find that people are listening to you, and they're listening through another mind, perceiving it in another dimension. And even though they'll think that they're thinking in the same dimension that you're speaking in or thinking that, their thinking isn't allowing them to go into the dimension of thought. And so many times they'll try to differentiate these dimensions in way of thought. But their way of thinking is many times in an intellectual concept of trying to perceive a spiritual thing in an intellectual concept or thought. And it will not work. You know, there's certain things that are capable and there's some things that aren't capable. It is absolutely impossible to worship the Lord God in a natural mind. It is absolutely impossible. You can do it. People would think you're doing it. You could cry. You could shake. You can have goosebumps. You could pass out. But it is impossible to worship God. The Bible said that you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, the thing is it would appear that you're worshiping Him. When we get into differentiating some of these things, you know, there's many people that will speak the right things. They'll say, well, you know, holiness is a spirit. And they're absolutely right. But we still bring the manifestation of holiness into a physical and a natural dimension as well as a spiritual. And so many times people will say the proper things, but you will not have the spirit of holiness in the spiritual perspective without it manifesting in the physical realm and the natural. It has to. It'll absolutely, because it is the force, the power, the strength, the drive. You know, if you look at a tree and it's got oranges on it, you could try to convince me all day long that it's an apple tree. But I'm sitting here looking at it, and I'm thinking, now wait a minute, this thing has got an orange tree nature because it's producing oranges. It's apparent that we know the spirit of this tree. The spirit of this tree, you know, was back when it was a little seed. Now, you could maybe take and get a handful of different seeds and look at them, and maybe you have enough understanding to tell me what the nature of that seed is by looking at the seed, and I couldn't do that. You know, some of you have been around trees maybe more than I have, but as a rule, you know, if I'm going to say, hey, this is a peach tree, it's because it's got some peaches hanging on it. But I'm saying that you see the fruit on it. Many times people will be listening and feel like they have the mind of differentiation or rending the veil between the spiritual concept of the thought or the natural concept or the physical or however you want to express it. I say these things continually to help us to bring thought. But I'll just talk about the God that was, the God that is, and the God that is to come. We think of the Antichrist in the very same way. Now, many times people have troubles maybe understanding the manifestation of different spirits and different things, but then they might understand the positive realm or in the realms of God. If you could look at the realms of the Lord Jesus Christ and you can understand how the Spirit of Christ is in the earth today, and you can understand that, and we being the many-membered body, and you can think of the one that they saw ascend up into the heaven and says, why do you gaze here and there? Because in like manner that you see him ascend, you'll see him come back in like manner. So the thing is we can get some concepts of understanding how God was, how God is, and how God is to come. And we can understand how in his coming, we can understand in what appearance he's going to come in, because we have scriptures of reference. Amen. Now the thing is when you understand that, you could mirror that and go over and look into the other realms or the other perspective, and you could find the very same thing in the perspective of the Antichrist, or we could say the son of perdition. We could say the false prophet. Amen. The beast. And we could start looking into these different dimensions, the devil. There's many different things, and we see we have to look. And we find people chiding and confusion and different kind of things. You know, I was thinking about when Peter, you know, when the Lord Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan. Now, how are you going to differentiate that? I had a friend or a gentleman that, you know, was a little bit crossed up and about the Antichrist. He said, well, they never said Antichrist spirit. They've said Antichrist. So he thought that because people are speaking about the Antichrist being present now, that they evidently don't believe the Bible, because the Antichrist hasn't come yet. And if we're going to believe that the Antichrist is now, that means that we're going to throw the book of Revelations away. It's just pure lack of understanding, and understanding the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the thing is do you believe that the Antichrist is in the earth now? And then one would say, well, I believe the spirit of the Antichrist is in the earth. Well, the thing is, what would I say? Do you believe that Jesus is in the earth now? And you'd say, well, no, I don't. I believe he's coming. You see, and this is where most people's thoughts would go. Now, the thing is we would have to be correct, or to be accurate in the word, we would have to use some terminologies and some understandings. But I could stand here and declare to you that I am a son of God. And you say, well, what do I see when I look at you? Well, I can answer that in two ways. I could say that you're observing a lying vanity, but then yet I could tell you that you are looking at a son of God, and one day you'll see it go through a metamorphosis. And then you say, well, now you're a son of God. Now, that's not at all what the Bible teaches. See, you don't see me of what I already am. So it's a finished, completed work in Christ. You don't see me of what I already am. The Bible said the world is yearning and longing. What does that mean? You know, are these people out here in this world, does it look to you like they're yearning and longing for the manifestation of the sons of God? But when this world goes to rocking and reeling, they will be yearning for that very thing. The Bible said they'll seek after death and can't even find it. But then yet, this world right here, when you look at me in this physical, this is a world. This is an earth. This is an earthen vessel. This world right here is yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation. It means when it wits the redemption, you see, this thing goes through this metamorphosis or change. That means that the aches and the pains and the sorrows and the aging and all the things that's relative to the flesh man, you see, all that swallowed up and gone. I mean, it's totally eliminated. But right now in this dimension of time that we're in, we bring it upright and we bring it under subjection through submission and make it walk upright in righteousness that others could see good when good comes. And that has to do with that transformation perspective or realm. So again, just kind of talking to you, trying to make sure that you could start rightly applying the word and the scriptures for you could understand. Now let's go to Ephesians 4 here and read just a little bit here this evening. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. There's a lot said in these scriptures. So oftentimes you're guilty. Are you listening to me? You're guilty of just not really perceiving the strength and the magnitude of God's word. I'm telling you, this word should be alive to you. I mean, this word, when you read these scriptures in this word, you know, there should be something happening in your spirit when you're reading of that word and partaking of that word that is just stirring in your spirit. Amen. Let's start again. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Have you figured that out? Of what you're called into? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. I want you to think on that a minute. I want your thoughts to be thinking on this one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Now, what's the Bible talk about? I could turn you over to the book of Revelation talking about the seven spirits of God. And it says right here, there's one spirit. I could take you over to another passage of Scripture talks about one faith and one baptism. Matter of fact, I think it's right in here. Yes, it is. The next scripture down. It says, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, right there, there is so much confusion, and I'm sorry to say this, in the church world over what we just read right here. Now, I could take you over to Hebrews and open up to you, and it speaks of baptisms with an S. Now, when you put an S on something, if I say airplane, you say one. If I say airplanes, you say at least two or more, correct? So we got something more than one when you put a plural on it or an S. So right here, I'm reading into the scriptures to you, and it says one baptism. But I could take you over to another scripture, and it says baptisms. It says one God. And then I go over and could read you in the scriptures, it talks about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and it said these three are one. So see, we have problems with these things. And I know these things are simplistic to most of us. To most of you, they should be very simplistic. But still, when people I find that have said in revelational teachings, in mind of differentiation and learning how to differentiate and pull things apart, they get among people and people come up and say, well, who was speaking then from heaven when the heavens opened up and Jesus was baptized and his dove descended down? And you know, who was that? Who was he speaking to? Who was it when we say Stephen looked up towards heaven and he saw the heavens open up and he saw the Son at the right hand of the Father? Now, who was that? And see, people, they'll just get right then, they'll just get all, well, I don't know, I just don't understand. And they think, just, I can't see this, I don't understand this, I don't know. So they just back off. So then the thing is when we talk about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and then we go into another part passage of the scriptures and it says baptisms. And we got a water baptism, a blood baptism, a spirit baptism, a fire baptism. We start speaking these different baptisms. You say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. You see, when you apply one, there is a one for these different dimensions. And it's accurate to say one God. You understand that? There is one God. There's not three gods. But there's one God, and this God that was, is, and is to come manifest himself differently in different dimensions. Now you as a man savor the things of this world and the things of the flesh and the things that are natural, the things that are carnal, the things that you could touch, the things that you could feel, the things that you could see. So when you talk about God, you try to apply him in that realm of thought. So when somebody starts talking about a father, you say, well, I understand this dimension and I have a father. So, you know, Jesus has a father just like I have a father. In your mind, you get it all worked out and you think you perceive and understand and comprehend God because you understand one dimension. So you say, okay, I understand it. You know, it's very clear, very easy to understand. So then you start using your carnal concept of thinking and saying, well, it's vindicated because when Stephen looked up for him, he seen him at the right hand. So the thing is that when we start going into the book of Revelations and it goes over and it talks about, you know, it said that he saw him go to the Lord and take a book out of his right hand. So you say, well, there it is again too. So if we're going to take this word in that kind of a literal perspective, the thing is are we going to have a line there, the line of the tribe of Judah, or are we going to have the lamb there that was slain before the foundation of the world? You say, well, don't you take the word of God literally? And I do. But then yet there are things that we have to take and understand. When we think of the line of the tribe of Judah, see, there's going to be thinking of the power and the things that we understand of God. But when we think of the slain lamb, we think of the innocent lamb that was taken for a sacrifice. It's to bring thought. And when we go into the Word of God and it starts speaking about a father and a son, we're thinking of many things to bring us into a thought for we can understand this God. And as I say, we can go into the scriptures and we start understanding the Word of God in the scriptures and you start looking and it talks about the Holy Ghost overshadowing Mary. And you see, in the Holy Ghost, you say, well, that can't be. That can't be possible that this could be the Spirit of the Holy Ghost overshadowing her to bring forth Jesus Christ because the Holy Ghost couldn't be until. And then we find Jesus himself speaking has no beginning and no end. So when we start differentiating things down, but even Brother Pike, he felt that it was a misinterpretation in the King James Bible of using the term Holy Ghost there. He believes it should have been Holy Spirit. Now, the thing is there any difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? in one concept of thought, there's absolutely no difference because there's one God. But when we differentiate it apart, then we can understand the difference. Amen? Now the thing is when you see me up here speaking to you and talking to you right now, you're not trying to differentiate my spirit from my body. You're seeing my spirit utilizing this body and the vocal utterances of this body to speak to you, and you're listening to me speak to you. But the thing is my spirit can depart from this body, and the part that you're looking at, the part that's making the audible expressions, and the part that's moving, it's something that you can see, can depart from this body, and this body's lifeless. No life in this body. The life is in the spirit. Now the thing is you're not differentiating that as I'm speaking to you. But you do know that there's life in this body or in this tabernacle right now for the reason that you're seeing it move. You're hearing it speak and doing its thing. Because when you take the life of the spirit out of the body's dead. Now the thing is there could be a differentiation or of an understanding of what life is speaking forth to you right now. And you could say, well, I could discern the difference between God and Brother Rob. I could discern the difference when it's God speaking and when it's Brother Rob speaking. Well, I hope that you can. And I hope that you're very careful when you're listening, because many times people think they have the ability to discern, and they think because of maybe the strength of the audible expression or because of possibly the way it's going forth. But I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, you better be very careful, because there's many times that people are sitting right here in this church and they chose not to hear the thus saith the Lord that was spoken forth without saying thus saith the Lord. You understand that? I know many times in the Pentecostal realms, people want to hear you say, thus saith the Lord. And I will do it occasionally. But if I was going to be saying, thus saith the Lord, every time it was the Lord speaking, I would be speaking. It would just become an idle word to you. Now the thing is, we have to learn to yield, and we have to learn to listen and to take heed to the things that we hear. And when we think we have the ability to start differentiating the mind of God and we start pushing things out, that's why there's exhortations. The Bible said, take heed to what you hear, lest at any time you'd let this slip. Because the thing is, the Bible said, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you do unto him. And when we talk about what you would esteem to be the least among us, amen, of the least, and what you do to them is what you've done unto the Lord. So a person has to be very careful. The Bible says, beware when you entertain strangers unawares, because you could be entertaining, you see, the angel of the Lord. Now I know that people get into so many different kind of ideas and thoughts when they start thinking of angelic visitations. I watch people that feel like they have to have something so supernatural going on to think that God's in the midst. They think there's got to be some kind of a light of illumination, some kind of little angel wings, or some kind of little twitter in the light or something, and before they would think, well, this is God. That's foolish. That is so foolish for a man to think that way. If you are walking in the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God, you could be in your workplace, you could be on a job, you could be somewhere, and you will find that God is speaking. The Bible says that we pray continually, we pray always, and we pray without ceasing. So if we're supposed to be in that kind of a state of thought, of being in prayer, what is prayer to you? You know, is prayer speaking in tongues? Is prayer audibly expressing or speaking? You know, if you're going to be doing that without ceasing, I think your voice would wear out. But the thing is there's a communication and a sup or a communion with the Spirit of God on a continuous basis. Amen. So the thing is that we should be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that it's not just waiting for an audible voice to come forth from a man that the Lord had got this individual to yield to him. Now see, mankind can yield, but I'm telling you, just as the Lord spoke through a beast, an animal to rebuke a prophet of God, the same way God will take a man and he could speak from heaven to you as an individual, and that man never even knew that God used him. He just yielded to some kind of thought that came to his head and he spoke it. Thought maybe he had some possible little revelation or something, but it was an expression from God if you're sensitive and you're listening to God. Now, most of the time, people are too natural, and they're not really listening for the voice of God. They're not listening or looking or hearing, nor do they have any interest, to be quite honest. Most people aren't interested, and they've got their ideas of when God's going to speak, how he's going to speak, and they got him so wrapped up in this tight little thing that they don't even allow him. The Bible said that we have the power to bind the things in heaven. I told you from the sacred essence, I've said it many times, the carnal mind has the power to bind God up in heaven. And I know that would sound like a real insult to you, but you're not going to bind him from me. You're not going to bind God from visiting me, seeing me, speaking to me, fellowshipping with me, walking with me, supping with me. You don't have that kind of a power in your carnal mind, but you have the power to bind him from speaking to you and moving through you and talking to you. Through your unforgiveness, you could bind up the forgiving power of heaven, amen, by your carnality and the carnal mind of unforgiveness, amen. So that's the way I speak about the power of God, amen, for we could know that. I know I've said to you in times past that people think they have the power to bind Satan. And they say, well, I'm going to bind him. The Bible teaches very clearly the binding of him is going to be during that 1,000-year time. He'll be bound in the pit. Now, there are things that we could do by drawing nigh unto the Lord and resisting the devil, and he'll flee from us. Amen. But if we could bind him, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we better be getting on with it, because we see him still in your family, still in your children, still in your home, still in your marriages. And if you've got the power to bind him, I'm going to ask you to get your chains out and get him bound up, because I'm watching him. He's got the ability to go to and fro. He has the power to kill. He has the power to steal. And he has the power to destroy. The thing is yes, we can take authority. It even tells us how to conduct ourselves in our church service. It says, lay hands on no man suddenly. It said that these spirits will leave that individual and they'll be out in the dry places looking for a place of inhabitation. Where are these dry places at, brothers and sisters? These spirits are looking for a life that they could manifest in. The same thing, as I said, if you would understand God, the spirit of God is looking to a place to come in and inhabit you and to fill you with his spirit, that he could utilize your vessel for a vessel of honor, that it could be cleansed and washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you could be filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, his spirit, that he could speak through you and he could talk to you and he could go out with this compassionate acts of kindness and the attributes of the invisible world of God, that he could use you. This is what the Lord is desiring to do. He prepared and made a way to you to cleanse your vessel and clean it, that he could come in and sup with you and fellowship with you. But the same way that he's looking to do the very same thing with you, is Satan is looking to do the very same thing. So again, it's a continual warfare, striving to find the utilization of a body that it could use and it can speak through. Now, with these kind of thoughts, trying to differentiate these spirits, finding these powers of light and darkness, the spirit of God, the spirit of the Antichrist, and trying to perceive and understand. Now, there's times that people are so intellectual that they're looking for some word of audible application for they could say, well, amen, or I believe, or this and that. They start crossing T's and dotting I's, and they totally miss God altogether whatsoever at all. Now, the thing is when the Lord did speak to Peter and he said, get you behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get behind me, the spirit of Satan that's dwelling in this man right now and using his utterances to speak through him. He simply made a statement. He said, get ye behind me, Satan. Now the thing is can I differentiate between Peter and Satan? I most definitely can. Now the same problem that you're going to have differentiating between Peter and Satan, you might have the same problem differentiating between Jesus and Peter when he said, who does men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the living Son of God. Amen. So who spoke that? He could have said, thou art the Christ. Amen. He said, upon what you just said, upon this rock right here is what I'm going to build the church on. Amen. It wasn't upon Peter. What was it upon? It was upon the rock. It was upon Christ. Amen. But you see, when we're trying to take and trying to apply, what is happening here? Here's one man and we find that it's the Christ, and we find the very same man, we find that it's the devil. Which one is it? Is he the devil or is he God? You know, which one was it when he was standing by the fire when they were taking Jesus in and he started cursing God? Was that the devil or was that God that started cursing? You know, we know who it was. So the thing is we find this man that different kinds of spirits are expressing himself in him. If we could take and perceive this as a thought, and we could say, now wait, this is a foundation to us. This is an understanding to us. This is a comprehension to us that we can see this one great man of God. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He took the man at the gate called Beautiful and said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give. And here's God calling this man the devil. And then in another place he said, man, this is revealed to you from heaven. So we find this, and we need to take this as an example and understanding to you and I. And the thing is we need to be careful what we are yielding to, what we're listening to. Now, as I expressed to you here in times just recently, I said, if it would have been Brother Rob walking there with Jesus, Jesus would have said to Brother Rob, "Get you behind me, Satan." He would have told me that. I think I'm more spiritual than that. Well, thank God for you. But I'm just telling you, I know myself, I would have been rebuked. I would have been one standing there and I would have been being reproved of the Lord. Because I know how I feel about him now. And I know that if I would have been there and he's sitting there telling me, "Hey, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to be crucified." Amen. You're going to say, "No, I'm not going to let that happen to you." You see, brethren, I know how you feel even about me as your pastor and friend. And if I said, "Hey, man, this is going to take place," man, this ain't necessary. We're not going to let this happen to you. And you would be savoring things of that natural life, of something that you could see. And you see, brothers and sisters, this is the way we have to learn to operate. There's times that we savor the things of the carnal world, the carnal life, the carnal flesh. We savor the things of moms and dads and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. And that's why we have Bible that tells us that if you love your father, your mother, your brother, your sister more than you do him, you're not worthy of him. Why does he tell us those kind of things? For we can keep a concept of understanding, a revelation, that we can keep an understanding and continually differentiating between these worlds. When Jesus' own mother came on and his own natural brother that came amongst them before him and they brought him in, they brought his mother and his brother in there and they said, "Hey, your mother and brothers." He said, "Who is my mother and who is my brother?" And you say, what a rude thing to do. This was his own flesh and blood mother. This is the one that travailed and brought him into this world. This is the one that fled away with him and took him down to Egypt when they were seeking to kill his life. And how disrespectful can this man Jesus be to say, "Who is my mother?" You know, you think, what a terrible act, a terrible thing to say. But these scriptures are there, brothers and sisters, for us to learn to differentiate. That we could look and say, now wait a minute, what is more important? And let me tell you something, when you sacrifice the spiritual world to have some carnal concept of a relationship, to have a wife, to have a son, to have a daughter, to have whatever, and you bypass the supernatural to get that or to gain that, you will lose out with God. And the thing is if you would yield to God and surrender to God and allow God to move in your spirit, allow God to have your way no matter how hard it looks, just as him saying, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother?" And you allow God to speak in you and to manifest in you, then he can move in their behalf for them. Amen. And he could do things for them that you would never, ever be able to do. You see, we've got to find out how we're observing. Why are we judging him? You see, people are making judgments. I've taught people in this church, and I taught them that ye that are spiritual judge all things, the least of you in this church, I've taught you this, the very least of you in this church could judge any of the matters. You see, I'm speaking to you by the mind of Christ and revelation. But when you start judging it out of your carnal concepts and your carnal mind, and judging it because you're a great man of understanding, and then you are ignorant. And you don't have no business about judging anything or anybody or passing any kind of judgment whatsoever. And you say, well, this is what's confusing to me, Brother Rob. In one breath, you're telling us that the least of us could judge all things. And then over in another breath, you're telling us that we have no business judging absolutely nothing. And I say, yay and amen. I hope you're starting to get the concept of what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to show you the Peter and the man that walked in might and power before the Lord and saw very many exploits. And God, our example, our Savior, God that walked among men said, "Get you behind me, Satan." So I'm trying to get you to say, okay, now wait a minute. I can see here it's all in the spirit that is expressing itself at that particular time in the individual. Now, I do know that we go to some finality in thought is because the Bible teaches us if you keep yielding your spirit and you keep yielding your spirit over to Satan, you keep yielding your spirit over to him and over to him, then he becomes your father. But the Bible said we have a spirit within us that cries, "Abba, Father." And you say, well, what does that mean, Brother Rob? You see, just as I was expressing to you when we read the scriptures, when you have that spirit of Abba, Father in you, there's something that's moving in your being saying, this is the written, this is the word of God. This is a lie. This isn't just some written page that was scribed through years and things. This is breathed by God. This is the inspired Word of God. And you will find when that Word of God meets your spirit, there's something that happens. I remember Brother Pike said, he said, you take a man and a woman and put them on a telephone, there's something happening. He said a lot of times they won't even see it or sense it, but there's something moving in a spiritual perspective. And this is why he would exhort you to be so careful about these kind of things taking place and trying to teach his brethren to be that way. But what about the Word of God? Looking at the other side of the perspective, what about this Word right here that is the quickening of the Spirit, amen? And when you hear this Word, it has to do something. If it's not moving down in your innermost being, if it's not shaking you apart in some way, you say, well, I've never had that experience. I say, well, get before the Lord and start talking to Him and start praying and start asking Him to grant unto you the Spirit of revelation. A revelation, brothers and sisters, is going to stir. It's going to move. You're going to feel it just like that mother feels the kicking of that little child inside. When you've got that spirit of revealing or revelation that's down in your spirit, it's going to kick. It's going to move. It's going to shake. It's going to move you, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, you'll know that you have this spirit. Amen. Just as that tree starts pushing out that fruit on those limbs, amen, there's something taking place and it is evident and it'll be seen. Now the thing is there's people that would appear to produce some fruit. I mean, even the scriptures, when we go over and we read, you know, about this seed that's on the soil that's not real good, it'll come forth, it'll appear like it's productive, it'll appear like stone, but instead this sun will come and scorch it out, the cares of the world, the love of the world. So what kind of exhortation or warning is that to you and I? If this kind of exhortation of God Himself walked among men, He gives a parable and He says that this thing be scorched out. Why? Because the love of the world. What do you discern the love of the world is? What do you think the love of this world is? Here's Peter that says to his God, we're not going to allow them to kill you. I'm not going to let you go to Jerusalem and be crucified. I'm not going to let this happen. I love you, Lord. He got rebuked and was called the devil for that. So what do you think it's going to be in your mindset when you have a love for the things of this world? When you want to be out in the bells and the whistles of the world and out in the frolic places of this world and be out there and be numbered with the people of this world and you want all of the activities of the world. When you're looking that way, it's Satan. You've got to realize that he is just trying to get his claws in your soul and get clutches upon you. You know, it frightens me to see even parents and so many times that are taking and trying to lead their children and trying to teach them to be a Christian, but teaching them ungodly things and unvirtuous things and unrighteous things and telling them, oh, it's okay, it's permissible. You know, they're looking for the vain jingles and they're looking for the frolics, they're looking for the pleasures, they're looking for the good time now. Brothers and sisters, deny that. Run from it. Don't look for your liberties of this world, because Satan, that's where he lays. This is where he's got his clutches and this is where he's going to grab you and he's going to convince you, oh, it's innocent, it's okay, there's nothing wrong with this, it's all right. See, that's him. That's his mind. You've got to learn to discern the voices. The Bible said, try the Spirit and see if it's of God. So when you hear a spirit saying it's okay, this is permissible, this is all right, who does that sound like? You say, does that sound like God to you? No, that is the satanic influences coming to your concept of what you call thought. And it's come to you and saying, hey, it's good, it's pleasing to the eye. I made this for you, I gave this for you. Oh, I want you to have a good time. I want you to have some pleasures. The Bible said sin will offer pleasure for a season. I'm not looking for the pleasures of this world, brothers and sisters. The things that should please you and the things that should bring pleasure to you is one thing and one thing solely, and that's this Word of God. Or you haven't made the differentiation. You have not made the conversion. Because I'm telling you, if you're looking for the excitement from flesh, I watch people's spirit. And when I see them, the only time they're excited is when something natural is going on. I remember a brother come to me and he said, you know what? My wife never feels good. She never wants to do nothing. She don't feel like cleaning the house. She don't feel like mopping the floors. She don't feel like vacuuming and do like this. But I can come in the door and say, come on, let's go to the Shogun. Or let's go to that. He said, man, all of a sudden she could do cartwheels and flips. And I got all this energy now. What is the problem there? Why is somebody now got strength when it's something to do with the belly, something to do with the flesh? Why do they all of a sudden they have strength then when it goes to that way, but any other time it's not that way? And you say, man, you might be talking about me, you might say. And I say, yay and amen, because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And we have to start looking at ourselves, saying, now wait a minute, I'm relative to this world. I'm relative to this thing. I'm a man. Amen. And I realize that we can get so caught up, brothers and sisters, in the exuberance of worldly things and worldly pleasures. It's easy to do. God wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be now. He wants you to have provisions. But the thing is there's a difference of having God add an increase to your provisions and you seeking after Him. That's where the failure comes in at. And we've all been guilty, brothers and sisters, of seeking after those things. And God was gracious enough to us and kind enough to us to add an increase. And He allowed us in many cases to fall on our face. He's allowed us to trip up and do things for we could see the snares of the devil. Amen. Maybe you won't see the snare until it's got a hold of your ankle. Pete was sharing a vision just the other day about when a brother Pike had, and it was the woman, and she was crying out for help, pleading, please help me. And he said he felt this compassion, you know, like, oh my, this individual's crying out for help. And he reached down to grab her, to pull her out of this mire. And as soon as he grabbed her hand, her appearance changed into a hideous witch. And claws grew out on her fingers and went right into his flesh, grabbed a hold of him, and started to pull him into the mire. You see, something that looked like, man, I've got to take and help. I've got to do this. I've seen the same lure. I could see the same little wretched harlot that was about 15 years old. And the man says, I'm a soul winner. I said, you got no business. It's not your calling. It's not your place. You need to stay. Oh, but I'm a soul winner. And that thing grew out and put the clutches in him. A silly woman laden with lust and dragged the man right into eternal damnation. And he's still locked up with whores right now to this very day. And he'll find himself in hell unless God delivers. Amen. So the thing is, as you see, brothers and sisters, how are you observing? Here's a man looking and saying, man, I've heard from heaven. Man, I'm a soul winner. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be winning. Soul winning with Satan the whole time. It was Satan luring him by the devices, what they call compassion. And it's nothing but the devil himself. Do you know how to discern the voice of God? Do you know how to discern the move of God? Do you know how to discern what God is doing? So many times Satan is going to lay a trap. And it's going to look like, boy, this is the move of God. This is the will of God. I've said to ministers, I said, let me tell you something. Satan will open up 5 or 6 or maybe more doors to every door that God opens up. And you say, well, that don't make sense. Hey, I'm just telling you, this is his world. He knows how to move and manipulate folks in it. You understand that? He's going around moving people through things all the time. The Bible teaches us very clearly that these carnal-minded people, people with these carnal concepts, they're so accustomed to yielding over to that thing that Satan can take their very mind and their very thoughts at his will. And he can take them. And he can take and use their life, use their substance, use their finances, use their vocal utterances, use their businesses, use everything about them for his own gains and for his own will. He has taken over the churches of the United States of America and throughout the world. Satan has climbed up into the upper lintels. He's climbed up into the government. He's climbed up into everything. And he's speaking. He's got a platform and he's moving. And you in this day and hour need discernment more than any other time in recorded history. Need to have discernment that you could see and understand and perceive the will of God, the mind of God, the thoughts of God. So we find ourselves again differentiating. We find this one man of God. And we find that he is subject to these spirits in the spirit world, utilizing his vessel, utilizing his utterances, utilizing his vocal cords to speak. So we find that these powers of light and powers of darkness, powers of these two different things are coming to you, to your house. Oh, we could talk about Peter and his failures, and we could talk about his strengths and his positives, you know, and the positive things about him. Or we could talk about other great men of God. But we're talking about you tonight, brother. We're talking about you tonight, sister. The thing is the spirits are going and you're being utilized by spirits. There are spirits that are using up your life. There's going to be something recorded for every moment and every day of your life. There's something being recorded down of who you've yielded your members to and who's utilizing your vessel. You know, sometimes we think, well, the Bible says, you know, being weighed in the balances and found wanting. I know that people think, well, you know, I know there's these big scales and hey, man, I went over and I've done a church job and hey, I went over and I gave this much finance and hey, I prayed this much and hey, I done that. So here's the way it works. I'm sorry, it's not that way. And it doesn't work that way whatsoever at all. I know the Bible says that when you turn to do evil, that all the good things that you have done are forgotten about. And it also says that when you've turned and done evil, that all the good things you've done are forgotten about. So, you know, let's see how we're going to end up this day. I'm going to try to do something good and maybe all the bad I've done today. It doesn't work that way. I'm telling you, I know what the Bible says, but it doesn't work that way. You see, the Bible said that you give unto change. If you're doing good today and bad tomorrow, and good today and bad tomorrow, or good for a moment and bad for a moment, the Bible says you're given to change. You're unstable in all of your ways. Unstable people do not have the Spirit of God. Unstable people do not have the Spirit of Christ. They do not walk in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the thing is we're not talking about this ability to take one and then turn one on and turn one off. We're talking about one dying and yielding your members totally over to the Spirit of God and letting Him have His way and let Him live. I know that there's no fresh revelation, as you would say, going forward, but these are concepts that we need to learn to watch and discern, because I find that people are yielding their members over to things and they thinking that they're doing a service for God and they're in God's way. Brothers and sisters, if you're carnal and you're natural, you'll be given Godspeed to things that will turn around and destroy you and kill you and take your life and rob your families away from you. And you think it's all in the mind of God, in the mind of the Spirit, and all in the revelation. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're lacking discernment. We're lacking sensitivity. We're lacking yielding to the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. And we're looking at things through the ignorance of the carnality of human reasoning and the desires of fleshly lust and fleshly wants, and that means that we're carnal, and the carnal mind is death and enmity with God. We need to repent and say, God, have mercy on me. I don't want to yield my members over to satanic influence. I don't want to yield my members over to Satan and his lust. I don't want to yield my thoughts over to him for one moment. Now we find that we're travailing. We find warfare. We find having to try these thoughts and these minds. We got to try them and see if it's of God. And most of the time, we're not even challenging them. Most of the time, we're entertaining them. And many times, it's Satan, and we'll think it's God speaking to us. And we'll speak back to our Heavenly Father, thinking He was speaking to us, and it was no more Him speaking whatsoever at all. Don't you realize that Peter here thought that he had a mind that was after God? When he told the Lord, even when it was at the Last Supper, he said, man, I'll die for you. You know, before this night's even over, man, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. But I'll die for you. I'll lay my life down for you. We go over to another place. He says, hey, feed my sheep. Do you love me? He said, and feed my sheep. Said it to him three times. To where it even grieved his spirit that he asked him that three times. You know why? Because he thought he knew something and he didn't know what he ought to know. Now we're talking about an apostle, brothers and sisters. We're talking about one who probably got closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than any other apostle in the Bible. He was with him continually. You find the recording of him. So now if we could take and see the frailty, you understand what I'm saying? The frailty of a human spirit. And if we could see that, and you say, well, Brother Rob, the thing is that was before the Holy Ghost was given. After Peter received the Holy Ghost, he was a different man. I say, yay and amen. So what are you saying to me? Are you testifying then that you don't have the Holy Ghost? Because without His Spirit, you're none of His. Is that the only thing that you could be doing, is testifying that you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you're going to fire back to me in this kind of a way of thinking? Well, you know, we got the Holy Ghost now. Yeah, you're in without excuse. The Bible says, who has bewitched you? You're inexcusable. Yes, He fulfilled what He came to do. Yes, He sent the Spirit of God and endued us with power. Amen. Power for what? For a form of godliness? Is that the power that He gave us for? We can have a form of godliness, not a form of godliness, that we could be walking in the power of the Spirit of God. We're endued with power. Power to come out of the world, to be separate people, not to be caught up in these vain jingles of this world, not to have the clutches of Satan. We got all authority and power to exercise over demon spirits, to tread on scorpions and serpents. You know, is this just some kind of terminology to you? Or is it actually a reality of you treading on these things? But then yet we find them seeping in to our homes and into our houses, into our minds, into our thoughts, into our businesses, into our children, into our wives, into our husbands. We find all of this interaction and all these people losing out and dying. What I marvel about, if your wife comes home tomorrow, or your son comes home tomorrow, your daughter comes home tomorrow, your husband comes home tomorrow, says, man, I just got the report from the doctor and I'm dying. Oh! And they're bawling and crying. But they have a death sentence right before then. They already had a death sentence, man. Satan has got their mind and kill them. And you just laugh with them and you walk with them, you frolic with them, and you kick up your heels with them and you fellowship with them. Yeah, and you're strengthening death sentences. But boy, the doctor gives them one and he don't have no power to give no death sentence. The doctors can't give you no death sentence. He don't have no power to do that. But then yet you'll weep and bawl when you should be rejoicing in the Lord that maybe they'll suffer in their flesh if they could cease from sin. You see, but you don't think that way. Why? Because you're thinking in another mind. You see, it's hard for me to think that I wish somebody I loved would suffer. You see, brothers and sisters, the mind of love would be thinking exactly, because that's what the mind of love teaches you to do. The mind of love says equip yourself with a mind to suffer. The Bible teaches you to rejoice on the day when you're being persecuted. Amen? And it teaches us to put ourselves and subject ourselves to this. But no, we want good. We want to feel good. We want all of the flesh and all everything that this world's got to offer. We want the frolics, and we want the dance halls, and we want the good clothing, and we want the fast cars, and we want everything this world's got to offer. And it just proves that you're carnal, and Satan has got you, and he's going to kill you and destroy you, and you're going to go to hell and perish with all the rest. That's sad, isn't it? What are we saying tonight, brothers and sisters? We need to find the mind of God. And we need to start differentiating. You see, evidently Peter wasn't differentiating what was speaking through him. What is your thoughts on tonight? What are you thinking about tonight? What are you thinking about before you come to church? What are you thinking about when you go home from church? What are you thinking about? What is your thoughts going to? If you're going to get the fruit of your thoughts, what are your thoughts? Oh, they're godly, they're holy, they're virtuous, they're righteous, they're pleasing to God. Well, I hope so. You know, is that true if you would really analyze where you've been spending your thoughts at? Is it really true, brothers and sisters? Can we really say that? You know, or are we just trying to comfort ourselves and lie to ourselves? The Bible's very clear. It says that we lie to our own selves. The Bible said we believe a lie and we're damned. There's so much concept of religion around us that everybody's religious. I'm telling you what, you've got family and friends that are so carnal and so fleshly and so religious that it's a stench in the nostrils of God. You know how you think when you step on an ant or you step on an old nasty bug out there and you think nothing of it? You see, you don't like to think this way. But that's exactly the way it's going to be in the mind of revelation and the mind of God to get rid of some of these things. The Bible said brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Do you realize what that is? A brute beast made to be taken and burned? You know, a man goes out and shoots an old deer and he don't think nothing of it. He's a deer hunter, also an old beast, and he shoots it. Don't think nothing of it. Well, God's got more concern for that deer and the sparrows that fall from the heavens than some of your family and some of your friends. That they are nothing but beast. And he is going to take and rend them into pieces. It said that God is going to rend them into pieces like a bear, like a she-bear. And you think, man, don't even talk like that, Brother Rob. You know, I want to think of this God as such a good God and a kind God and a merciful God and a loving God. Well, let me tell you something. Every time you see me with breath going in and out my lungs, you can know God's a good God, a merciful God, and a long-suffering God. And every time that you've got enough strength in you to lift your hands up towards heaven and say, I love you, Lord Jesus, you are my God and King, you know that he's a merciful, long-suffering God. Because what you deserve, brother and sister, and what I deserve is eternal damnation and hell. It's a simple fact that he's gave us life and life abundantly and life holy. He's a merciful God. But let's don't take his mercy and trample it under our feet into lasciviousness by running in the world and frolicking in the world and talking about how much love he's got. This is why we have to know him, brothers and sisters, and understand him. We got to understand the God of judgment. We got to understand the God of mercy. We got to understand the God that has the power to give and the one that has the power to take up. The one that has the power of life and the power to take life away, amen. The one that could remove the candlestick, the one that could remove the soul, amen. This is what we have to know him as. You understand that? I don't want to paint this picture to you of some bloodthirsty God that just wanting to rend you into pieces. No, that's not what I want to say, but you best know him that way, amen. For you could have the fear of God, which the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom, amen. But they're not preaching the word no more in the churches of America. They don't want to offend nobody in the churches of America. The churches are taking and they're passing their votes and they're doing their things and they're changing the Bibles and rewriting them because they don't want to offend nobody. Let me tell you something. This word of God is going to offend the heathen. It's going to offend the people of this world and they're not going to like it. And matter of fact, they didn't like him. They hated him and they're going to hate you also. So if you're popular and everybody likes you, just realize one thing, that you are of the devil and your father is the devil and you're on your way to hell, because we're not supposed to be liked. We're not supposed to be popular. We're not supposed to be friends with everybody.
money.
The world doesn't like us. They hate us because they hated him first. So the Bible says that if they love you, that Father's not in you. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Let's get real with the Word of God. Let's quit taking out a little piece over here and saying, well, this is the part I like. I like the part of him being merciful. I like the part of him being long-suffering. I like the part that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, the Satan likes that part too because he's one preaching that and quoting that every time the church doors open up. Don't misunderstand me. The Bible says the ministers of Satan. The ministers of Satan is what the Bible says. They've transformed. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you're teaching us to transform our mind. Well, I know the ministers of Satan already got that one ahead of some of you. For they can transform themselves into the mind of what would appear to look like the mind of God. For they could deceive even the very elect if it were possible. Amen. So we better start understanding the reality of the concepts of the brilliance of the wisdom and understanding that this Satan has got. That he can take and come in by the way of your thinking, and he can make you think that it's God and make you think that it's religious and make you think it's Christ and make you think it's good and make you think that you're doing the right thing, and he is nothing but manipulating you through the valley of death, and he is going to destroy you, walking down a wide, broad path of destruction, and you'll feel real comfortable because you think, well, all these people couldn't be wrong. This theologian over here couldn't be wrong. This Pentecostal preacher over here couldn't be wrong. This Baptist minister over here couldn't be wrong. And this one over here couldn't be wrong. And they're all wrong. They're all on their wide, broad path to destruction. It's a straight and narrow way. Few be there that find it. And the righteous are scarcely going to make it, brethren. I'm telling you, we better wake up and we better start checking and find out, what are we of? What spirit are we of? What is using my mind? What's talking to me? What's using me? What's taking my being? Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to take heed to what we're hearing tonight. You understand that? All of us do. Because I'm telling you, if I wanted to start rending personalities tonight, it would probably frighten many of you. It would probably frighten you. And you think, well, man, you know, don't do that. Oh, that's offensive. Oh, man, you know, this and that. What's offensive is for me to see someone have Satan take and lose their life and take their soul and take their families away. Start getting the mind of Christ and analyze things. Quit looking through blindness. Start analyzing and find out, what spirit is this of? What is making my daddy do this? What is making my mommy do this? What is making my wife do this? What is making my brother do this? What is making my husband do this? What mind is it? So when you analyze it's the devil, then what do? You're going to kill him? Is that what you're going to do? You feel justified to take a ball bat out now and beat him? I wish it would work that way. I'd pass out the bats. But it doesn't work that way. The Bible said some of these spirits only come out by prayer and fasting. Amen. But you know what? You're not dealing with it. I watch your lives and not dealing with some of these spirits and condoning them and feeding them and strengthening them. And we got to get real. We got to get real. Children, you are evangelists. Dads, you are evangelists. Moms, you are evangelists. You understand that? We are going to have to start evangelizing. You know, we're out here trying to win the world and seek after the world. We're out here trying to win people in Africa and over in other countries. And we're translating literature and doing all these kind of things. And the most of us, the majority of us, are losing our own households. You understand that? We're losing our own households, and we got Satan taking our homes. We got Satan taking our wives. We got Satan taking our husbands and taking their mind and taking them into captivity at their will. And we're walking along with a smile on our face and laughing about it. And we're losing out, and we're going to stand accountable. Do you think that God's going to take your wife away from you and put her in hell and just leave you standing there with a smile on your face and think you're justified? Or do you think that he's going to take your husband and put him into hell and you as a woman is just going to stand there when he said, by your chaste conversation and by your prayer and by your dedication to God, he could win that man? You know, so where are you innocent? Where are you going to stand clear from this at? When are you as a father going to stand clear when your son's going to hell or your daughters are going to hell because of the lasciviousness? And how much of it are you guilty of by teaching them and training them with the iniquities of your own life and your own religious ideology? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we better start checking up. We better start analyzing and examining and seeing. How much mercy is God going to continue to show us? How much long-suffering is he going to be with Brother Rob? How much more long-suffering is he going to be with you, brother or sister? How much longer is his spirit going to strive with you? How long will he tarry with you? You see, we can have these ideas and thinking, oh man, praise God, he's a merciful God. But just as I said about that mother bear turning, what happens when God turns and rends you to pieces? The Bible said they'll curse God and want to die, seeking after death and can't even find it. You know, there's people already in that kind of torment right now. There's people in that kind of tormenting spirits right now. We don't know how to think in the mind of God. See, God's not considered for the longevity of your days on this earth. He can add an increase to your days on this earth, but the God we're serving would rather shorten your number of days on this earth that you could have eternal life with Him. You see, we got to start thinking in the mind and the will of God. We better start surrendering and submitting to God. You know, yes, you've messed up. Yes, I've messed up. But how long is He going to allow us to continue on making these mistakes? Are we going to keep on trampling His blood under our feet? Are we going to keep on just slopping our way through this life and pleading the blood of Jesus and begging Him for mercy on a daily basis? Or are we going to get real and wake up and say, you know what, I know who I am in Christ. He's given me all things that pertain in life. He's given me all power. He's given me all authority. I'm going to take my rightful place. Amen. Quit depending on the preacher to do everything for you and start getting your mind in God and start walking in the Spirit of the Lord and start taking your rightful place as a Spirit-filled woman or Spirit-filled man and get real with God. Amen. Before you watch Satan rip your children out from under your households, now from under your hands, now from under while you're playing your religious games and talking about the mercy of God, you'll watch Satan rob you and steal. And you'll watch him rob your thoughts and take your mind into captivity at his will. You'll find you just being nothing but a fertile ground for satanic thoughts. You know, I want to be fertile, but I want to be for the mind of Christ and the mind of God and the mind of Revelation. Let's stand together. I'm going to go back to verse 4 real quick. Just let me read to you just for a moment. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let me read that again. It says, for the perfecting, he gave pastors and apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. Okay? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I know Jesus has perfected you once and for all by his works and labors at Calvary, but then yet the Lord sent me to do it. You have to differentiate that. There's two different dimensions here. And if you've been perfected by the works of Christ at Calvary, then you're going to yield to the body of Christ in the earth and the gifts of God in the earth. You will allow them to perfect you. Do you realize that? You will subject yourself to the perfecting powers of the gifts in the earth in the church today. Are you understanding me? So we have to understand what this perfecting is. There's a perfecting that's done by the works of Christ before this world ever was, and you are pure, without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, and been perfected. I can't get there. That's where there's no works that you could boast in. That's in His works, amen, in Him alone. But now we're going to step into another dimension, and it's going to come to works and labor, amen, and it's going to be by faith. Faith, brothers and sisters, is going to be the active force in this second dimension of labors and works, but to show what faith is. Faith is something that's invisible that is going to come to something that's visible. It's something that is going to become something from nothing into a substance of something that's reality, something that's seen, something that's comprehended, something understood, or it's dead. You understand that? But the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ laboring through the gifts of God that he gave unto the church, that when he prayed to the Father and he said, I'm praying for them, amen, that's us. And he prayed for us, amen, and we've come forth to bring forth the gifts of the Spirit of God to perfect you into the kingdom of God, amen. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry. Do you understand that? That's all of us. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you there? Have you come to the fullness of Christ? I know we say that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, And I say, yay and amen. But here we are supposed to be perfected, brothers and sisters, right here to the fullness of that perfect man, Christ Jesus, to that stature. It says it right here. And this is what we're pressing for. And this is what we're fighting for and what we're pushing in for. But there's something that came to rob you from doing that. And it's the mind of Satan. It is the will of mankind. It is the will of the flesh. So you're going to have to start not looking at your mama as your mama. And you're going to have to quit looking at your daddy as your daddy. And you're going to have to quit looking as your brother as your brother and your sister as your sister. And you better start looking at them as the enemy that's in your own household. Are you listening to me, saints of God? You say, Brother Rob, you sound like you're bringing a sword of the Spirit and you're going to put the households apart. And I said, amen, you're starting to find out what Jesus came to do. Am I teaching children to be disrespectful to mothers and fathers? No, not what whatsoever at all. I'm telling you, when they got the love of the true spiritual Father in their heart and they're loving Him and seeking after God and praying to God, they're going to have more respect for their mothers and their fathers, because children are shortening the numbers of their days by being disobedient to their mothers and fathers in this day and hour. I do not allow at any given time for any child to ever disrespect a heathen mother or a heathen father. It is something that will bring the judgments of God down on their head. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying they're going to fall in love with the Heavenly Father, and they're going to pray to the Heavenly Father, and they're going to seek the Heavenly Father, and they're not going to let the mind of moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas defile them and destroy them and make them think that they're doing the right thing, when it's nothing but yielding over to fleshly attributes and fleshly lusts and fleshly things. And you got to remember, the enemy is in of your own household, according to the Bible, and you will be crucified in the house of your friends. Amen. So don't be alarmed, brothers and sisters, when these things happen in your houses. Amen. Seek after the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit of the living God. Pray to God, the Heavenly Father. And you pray and you listen and you watch, and He will use you as a child. He'll use you as a mother. He'll use you as a father to win souls into the kingdom of God. We better wake up, because I'm getting tired of seeing Satan taking the minds into his will and taking into captivity and destroying and becoming an enemy of God. Amen. So pay heed to what you're hearing this evening, because Satan is real and he's trying to destroy you and your household and your families and your marriages. Amen. Let's get tired of it. We need to get sick and tired of it. I tell people that can't quit smoking, I said, the only reason you can't, because you don't want to, because you have a love for the filth and the wretched things. Amen. And when you can't come out of the world and you can't leave the things of the world alone, it's because you have a love for Satan and you're a God hater. And you've always hated God and you spit in His face every chance you get because you don't love Him. You say, oh, I do love Him. The Bible said, if you love Him, you keep His commandments. And if you love Him, you come out of the world and you're a peculiar and separate people. If you love them, you don't have the spirit of the Antichrist in you and the love of the world. When you love the world, the Bible said He's not there. And when you love Him, He's there supping with you and fellowshipping with you. He's talking with you. And you say, man, I felt Him, man. I felt the goosebumps on Him. I felt Him, man. I spoke in tongues. I don't care. You ain't nothing but a tongue talking devil. Get born again and get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you'll find that heavenly language supping through you 24/7. It ain't going to be some one-time church experience. It's going to be a spirit that's intercessing, a spirit of power and life that lives in you. It's time to get real, folks. It's time to get rid of religion. It's time to quit playing religious games, and let's get on fire for God. Amen. Go ahead, brother. I'm a little bit stirred up because I don't like to see Satan destroy and kill. When you have possessions and someone breaks into your home and steals them, you don't like it. When someone breaks in your automobile and takes something from you, you don't like it. When Satan comes and starts plucking out what you know is God's, you shouldn't like it, and you're just going to start standing in the mind of revelation, the mind of God, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Who's concerned for your brother? Who's concerned for your sister? Who's concerned for your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncle? Who's concerned for your boss? Amen. Are we truly standing in the gap? Are we truly praying? Are we truly seeking after the counsel of the Lord? Are we trying to be an example? Are we trying to die and get out of the way? Are we trying to be long-suffering, go silent to the slaughter, that they could see the mind of God and revelation in us? I pray, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could receive Your Word tonight, Lord God, and be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Love, how can it be that You might
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amazing love, I know it's true.
Thank you, Lord.
It's my joy to honor you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In all I do, I'll honor you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, you are my King.
Are you a Savior tonight, saints?
Jesus, you.
You know, I think of the purpose the Lord Jesus came to this earth and walked among men. But what about
you?
What's your purpose? Why did God put you in this earth? Are you a Savior? Are you leading somebody into the kingdom of God? Can they see Christ in you through your endeavors, through your love and compassion? Come on, saints. Let's analyze. Let's be real with ourselves. It's not going to be... You're not doing yourself any good to lie to yourself. If we were honest with each other, brothers and sisters, we'd all stand here with our hands raised to God saying, God, I failed you. That's what we would be doing, saints. We'd be saying, Lord God, I failed you. Oh, I know I failed you because you're just so merciful. You know, we could keep on saying that. But brothers and sisters, the grace of God is closing up, and that door and that dispensation of time is coming to a quick, sudden end. I remember sharing with you weeks and weeks and months ago, maybe years, talking about that we're standing at a time of the manifestation of the sons of perdition. And I'm telling you, it's unveiling. Things are being unveiled, brothers and sisters. Let's be unveiled as the sons of God. Amen. You're not a son of God because you go to the right church. You're a son of God because you have the right spirit. That's why we're sons of God. The only way you could be a son of God is by receiving the Spirit. The same Spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus must dwell in your mortal body. Amen. And it's going to raise you up from your dead works. It's going to change you. Amen. And you'll no longer be lame, stumbling around in a world of sin. You're going to be walking in the Spirit with your head up in the power of the living God. And people are going to see something different about you. Just as it's recorded in the Bible about the shadow of Peter when it comes right amongst them and the healing virtue went forth. People are going to be convicted of their sins when you're on their job sites and stuff because you got the power of the living God dwelling in you. Let's take our rightful place and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let's get filled up to overflowing with the anointing of God, that people will be convicted, amen, when you stand before them, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, amen. Beautiful song, amen. Appreciate that. As the brother plays another song, the altars are still open this evening. We're not going to keep you much longer.
Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And had it not been for the old rugged cross.
Use us, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us, Almighty God. Grant mercy and forgiveness unto us, Lord Jesus. Lead us, direct us, and guide us. Just lift your hands to the Lord and worship Him. Praise Him, saints. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to anoint you and fill you with His Holy Ghost and His power. Ask Him to cleanse you and wash you and redeem you. Ask Him to help you make a difference. To be a soul winner. One that could win someone into the kingdom of God. Ask Him to let you take your rightful place in that calling that it spoke about. Amen.
Like this, if that is in love, yes, if that is in love, the oceans are dry.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.